This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then al-asb. So the tools that will cause a present tense verb to go from its default status, which is rafa, to go into the status of nasb or jazm. And then I compared between both statuses last time. So let me take this off because this is not... What I'm going to do is I'm going to continue by talking about al-marfu'at min al-asma, and then I'm going to do a revision of everything that we've done after that chapter, inshallah. Bab al-marfu'at min al-asma, the chapter of al-marfu'at. What does al-marfu'at mean? I'm probably do this standing up for today. So al-marfu'at. What does marfu'at mean?
Does that mean the lifted?
Yeah, so yes, if you were going to explain it literally, not grammatically, then yes, that would be the lifted. But from Arabic grammar, al-marfu' is in the status of rafa'. So, al-marfu'at min al-asma. We're talking about nouns. So we're not talking about present tense verbs that are marfu'. We're talking about different types of nouns that are going to be in the status of rafa'. And we have seven different types of nouns that will be in the status of rafa' within a sentence. And we'll go through them one by one. And they're pretty simple once you understand them. So Imam Al-Ajurrumi rahimahullah qal, al-marfu'atu sab'atun wa hiya al-fa'ilu. The first type, al-fa'il. What is al-fa'il in English grammar? Is it the subject? Okay, the subject. Because I don't know. Alright. Now, what you need to know about the fa'il is the following. A fa'il only exists in a verb-based sentence. So before we talk about fa'il and how it works, I have to explain to you the two different types of sentences there are. So when you talk about sentences, we have two types of sentences. We have noun-based, and we have verb-based. So if sentences are based on verbs, and sentences that are based on nouns, how do we know if it's that or that? Basically, what it begins with will kind of dictate the sentence. So how the sentence begins will tell us if it's going to be a noun-based or a verb-based. Sometimes a sentence will be complex, so it will be a noun-based, but within it there's a verb-based sentence. Or it's a verb-based sentence, and within it there's a noun-based sentence. So there's different ways of looking at it. The fa'il only exists in a verb-based sentence. There is no such thing as a fa'il in a noun-based sentence. A noun-based sentence will have different things that are marfu'ah. Like, we'll talk about them, inshallah, in a second. But for now, when I talk about fa'il, we're talking about a verb-based sentence. Give me examples of a verb-based sentence. See, that's a noun-based sentence, because it started with a noun. Flip it. Aywa, now it's a verb-based sentence. So how it begins, it's a noun-based. When you said Ahmad yal'ab, Ahmad plays, it's a noun-based sentence with a verb-based sentence in the middle of it. So that's a complex sentence, right? When you say yal'abu Ahmad, that is a verb-based sentence. So which is more, which is easier to have, which is the one that is more common? Verb-based sentences. Because once you shove a verb anywhere, it becomes a verb-based sentence. Even if the actual sentence is noun-based, but now you have a verb-based right in the middle of it. On the other hand, in order to have a noun-based sentence, the criteria is you cannot have a verb at the beginning, and you cannot have a verb in the middle. So it could be a noun-based sentence, but to have it purely noun-based with no verb-based sentence around, you can't have a verb added to it. So verbs are just a bit more contagious. The moment they come in, they turn something into a verb-based sentence. So what he says, يَلْعَبُ أَحْمَدُ. Right? So it started with a present tense verb. So it's a verb-based sentence. Who's the subject? Who's actually doing the playing? Ahmed. So Ahmed here is going to be the fa'il. And if you were to say la'iba Ahmed, like in the past tense, it would be the same thing. So this, he would be the subject in the sentence. Give me something in the Quran. Give me a Quranic verb where there's a where the subject in it. That's a Quranic verse with a subject, yeah. Kutiba becomes more complicated. Think of something a bit more simple. And that's also complicated because that's a command. Now, there's a subject there, but the subject there is not I want a subject to be a word, a noun, not to be a pronoun, to actually be a noun. Also complicated because that's in the fil ghaib. That's not yes. Sabbih bihamdi is also complicated. It's a command verb. Idha jaa. إذا جاء نصر نصر الله والفتح. Alright. إذا, if, it's a preposition, doesn't do anything, doesn't dictate whether the sentence is going to be noun based or if it's going to be verb based, it's just a preposition. Then جاء, what is the جاء?
Okay.
Yeah, so what is it? Is it a noun or a verb? It's a past tense verb, right? So when you find the past tense verb, then you know it's a verb-based sentence, right? And then Nasru is a subject. Who came? The victory of Allah. Right? So Nasru. And we said it's al-marfu'at min al-asma', right? It's going to be marfu'a. That's why we have what at the end of it? You have a dhamma. Alright? I'll do this slowly, don't worry. Just I want to kind of build up some understanding of what we're doing here. Okay, think of more ayat that you memorize that could have something like that. No, it's very very complicated. Zulzilat, it's not in the it's mabni al-majhul. So it's a passive verb. Passive verbs we'll study, but we haven't studied them yet. So there's a bit yes, we're not ready for that right now. Think of something that's more Wattaqu is a command. You guys all think either commands or passive verbs. There's no mashallah. If I was asking for passive verbs or commands, I wouldn't get as many as I got right now. Give me something that doesn't have, yes. Yeah, I mean, but there's the subject is a pronoun there. I want the subject to be a noun that is clear within the sentence. Like a noun that is there for you to see, for you to read. That doesn't be, it's a noun based sentence, right? Yeah. So you're thinking, you have to think of juz' amma. Yeah, just think of juz' amma, you'll find a lot of examples in it if you just go through a few of the verses in your head. So yalid is a verb, but where's the subject? I'm asking for the subject. So ja'a nasru was an example of a verb, and then the subject or the fa'il that came after it. So think of something in your mind of a surah where you can think of, or an ayat, any ayah. So I'll give you an example of something simple. So qala Allahu inni ma'akum. So qala is a past tense verb, right? He said. And then who's the subject? Right? Lafdul jalala Allah. So it's marfu'. It's a fa'il, it's marfu'. What is the marker of rafi' for it? Dhamma. So qala Allahu. Qala Allahu inni ma'akum.
What about qala rabbi? That also work?
It would work. Qala rabbi would work as well. Would work very well. But it's hard to establish the marker on that one. I want something, I'm looking for things that are a bit more simple. Just something you can kind of look at and it makes sense to you the moment you look at it, yes? Where is the subject in Ara'ayta an-nas? Which one is the subject? So if you say Ara'ayta an-nas, it's not bad. I can deal with that for a second. Ara'ayta. Where is that in the Quran, Ara'ayta an-nas? ورأيت الناس. Oh, sorry, I wasn't sure where you. ورأيت الناس. So رأي, right? So this is where the word ends. This is a present. This is a past tense verb, right? Past tense verb. Who is the subject here? So it's the ta. The ta is a subject. Ra'aita, you saw, right? Who you saw? What you saw? An nas. This is the object. So this is the subject. So this is fi mahal rafi', and it's a position of marfu', but it's not a noun, is it? It's a pronoun, it's not a noun. So we want to think of subjects that who are nouns within the sentences. يقول المنافقون, right? Yes, Hamdi. قال نوح. Let's think of a different verb besides قال. take away the whole talking part. So يقولوا is a present tense verb. The subject is المنافقون. The question is, what is the marker of رفع in the word منافقون? It's الواو, right? So this is what is منافقون? It's a جمع مذكر سالم. It's a sound masculine plural. And it's either منافقون for رفع or منافقين for نصب and جر. And because it's مرفوع, the فاعل is a مرفوع, it's going to be المنافقون. قال نوح. What is the marker of رفع for نوح? نوح, what is the marker of رفع? نوح, الضم أو تنوين الضم, right? نوح. Very good. Think of more examples. Where is the subject there? Who's the subject? Who's doing what the verb is indicating that is happening? A subject, الفاعل, is someone or something that is doing whatever the verb has indicated is happening. So يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ. But where is, in your example, where would it be? Who's the subject? Who's doing? Yeah, so you are the subject. Is you there in the ayah? No. It's not there. So it's something that's estimated, but it's not there. We're looking for nouns that are written in the sentence, we can say. Does that make sense? So there is a subject, but it's estimated. It's not there. قُلْ أَنْتَ and قُلْ أَنْتَ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. But أَنْتَ, you don't never say that. You take that and say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. Yes? Same problem. So ورتل is a command. The subject is not written. The subject isn't there. Who's going to read? You. It's not written there. It's not in the sentence. يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الْمُعَوِّقِينَ مِنْكُمْ. يَعْلَمُ is a present tense verb. He knows. Who knows? Allah knows. Right? So Allah is the subject, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the subject is always marfu', and the marker of rafa' is going to be يَضَمَّ. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ. وجاء إخوة يوسف. جاء, right, they came. It's a past tense verb. Who is the subject here? Who came? إخوة. Yusuf didn't come. It's his brothers. So إخوة is the subject. What is the marker of رفع on the word إخوة? Think. It's a ضمة. إخوة. وجاء إخوة. يلا, what did you have? يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ. Finally you got one. يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ. يَفِرُّ is when you run away, right? So that's a present tense verb. Who's running away? Who's doing this verb? الْمَرْءُ, right? That's how you know what a fa'il is. A subject is who is ever performing what the verb is indicating. The verb is indicating fleeing, running away. Who's doing the running away? Al-mar'u, the human being. So he's marfu'a, he's asfa'a, it's marfu'a. What is the marker of rafi'a on al-mar'u? Yes, al-mar'u. Yafirru al-mar'u min akhi. Yes, what do you have? So ja'a al-bashiru. There you go. So ja'a al-bashiru. So we have a lot of qala and ja'a so far. Let's see if we can get with new words. Ja'a al-bashir. Bashir means the bearer of good news. Ja'a came. So who came? The bearer of good news. So he's a subject. What is the marker of rafi' on al-bashir? Dhamma, very good. Ya al-Basir. Yalla Hamdi, give me another one. Sami'allahu. Sami'a is a verb that means to hear. Right? Who is doing the hearing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is a subject. It's marfu'a, so he's going to have a dhamma. Sami'allahu. Yalla, who else had his hand up? Yalla, ya Harun, ya Abdul Rahman, give me examples. You guys know enough of the Quran to give you examples. Yes? Okay, so who? Let's go through that. Ja'alt. What is the verb indicating? Yeah. So who's doing what the verb is indicating? Yeah. Where is Allah in this sentence? So what is the alternative? What is the substitution for the name? The ta. So ta is the subject here. But is the ta a noun or a pronoun? It's a pronoun. We want nouns. We're looking at marfu'at min al-asma. So you're not wrong. You're not giving a wrong sentence. You're just not giving me a sentence that has a noun as a subject. And saying the difference, so I want you to kind of think of give me sentences that have nouns as subjects. And if you make up one up, that's fine. Yes? He just gave it to me a second ago. Were you sleeping for 5 minutes? He just gave it to me a second ago. Yes? Rajulun. Yes, so who came? Rajul. Yeah, so a very good example, because there's actually a few words between the verb and the subject. So وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُل. So who came? The verb is وَجَاءَ came. Who came? Who did the coming? The man, right? Not مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. That is just an additional piece of information, that from the far part of the city. So رَجُل is the subject. What is the marker of رَفِع on the word رَجُل? Dhamma, rajulun. Rajulun yasa, right? Not rajulan. Very good example, Harun. Give me more examples. This is important. Once you understand how the subject works, it becomes much easier for you to deal with the. So, ja'ala Allahu. So, ja'ala Allahu sab'a samawatin tibaqa. Allah made 7 layers of within the heavens. So who did the making? Allah. So he's a subject, so he has a dhamma, right? Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka, right? Fa'ala rabbuka. Fa'ala did. Who did the doing here? Rabbuka, right? What is the marker of what is the marker of rafa'a on rabbuka? Yes, of course. This is where the word ends, right? The kaf is a pronoun additional. Rabbu, rabbuka. What other examples can you give me? Waja'a fir'aunu. So, who did the coming? This is the verb coming. Who did it? Fir'aun. Fir'aun is going to be marfu'a. Dhamma is the marker. قاتلهم قاتلوهم يعذبهم الله. So which sentence? يعذبهم الله. Who's the subject? Okay, what's the marker of رفع? Very good. Why are you say it? So even if you're mistaken, like I'm not gonna bite your head off. فيعذبهم الله. Very good. So يعذبهم. This is an interesting one. Because again, there's something between the verb and the subject, right? Yu'adhib is punish. Who's doing the yu'adhib hum, they, right? So who's doing the punishing, they or Allah? Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the subject here, so he will be marfu'a. What is the marker of rafi'a for him? For the of the jalala? Al-dham. Faba'ath Allah ghuraban. يبحث في الأرض فبعث الله بعث is sent, right? Who did the sending? Allah. مضمون. Can I give you an example now that's kind of out of the so pay attention to this. يا شاطر show me شطارتك اللعاد هنا. See if you can catch this in the Quran. وإذ ابتلى So there's a noun-based sentence, a verb-based sentence. When you find a verb, there's a verb-based sentence immediately. It depends on the beginning of the sentence. Sometimes there'll be a noun-based sentence and a verb-based sentence in the middle of it. It'll be complex. Or sometimes there'll be a verb-based sentence and a noun-based sentence in the middle of it. But for means or for purposes of simplicity, we're going to say just a verb-based sentence, pure verb-based, or purely noun-based. And then we'll talk about complexities, inshallah, later.
Comes before subject in
Yes. If it's the opposite, then it becomes something different. It's called something different at that point. All right. There are certain exceptions to that rule, but again, they're very, very rare. Yeah. So wa idibtala Ibrahima. So Surah Al-Baqarah, there's a very known ayah, right? What ibtala means tested. It's a verb, right? So who is the subject here in the sentence? So who was tested? Who did the testing?
Allah did the testing on Sayyidina.
So who is the subject here in the sentence?
Allah.
Rabbu. So how would you see if it's marfu or not? What's the marker of rafa for it?
Allah.
Where? On the?
Allah.
On the ba. So Rabbuhu. And then Ibrahim is the object, it gets a fatha. Now if you were to flip it, Ibrahim wa Rabbahu, you would have a meaning that has some indication of kufr in it. That Ibrahim was testing God. And of course that doesn't work. Right? Another example. Innama yakhsha. Yes. How much what? Ibtala. At the beginning of the sentence, ibtala is tested. Right? So it's a past tense verb meaning tested. Innama yakhsha, revere, the verb, present tense verb with the meaning of revere. Allah. Badihi. Ulama. All right. So who's the subject here?
Allah.
No.
Oh, the subject, yakhsha.
Yeah. The verb is yakhsha, right? Who is doing what the verb is indicating? The verb is indicating reverence. Who is performing the reverence?
The ulama.
And ulama are performing the reverence for Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, right? So who is the subject in this sentence? Al ulama. That's why. Dhamma. And then innama yakhsha Allaha min ibadihi ulama. If you switch it, the meaning becomes problematic. If you switch it, then if Allah is revering His creations, His scientists, then that becomes more of a problem in understanding it. Are you understanding how this works? So we're talking because we're studying the subject. Subject is a marfu', is a word that will be given the status of rafi' amongst nouns. It is a part of a verb-based sentence. It has to be a verb-based sentence. It'll be the what the subject is, it is the person or the thing that is performing whatever the verb is indicating. It is the person, the one, or the thing that is performing whatever the verb is indicating. Yes, Ya Hamdi. Who's doing? What is the verb here?
Arsalna.
Yeah. So who's doing? What does arsalna mean?
To
send.
Yeah.
Right. Who's doing the sending?
Us.
Yes. So us. Where is us in the word? Very good. Where is us in the sentence? No. That's to you.
Na.
Is na a noun or a pronoun? It's a pronoun, it's not a noun. Right? That's why we're looking for sentences that have subjects that are nouns. Yeah, so again, the third time, mashallah, for the same. This is a very popular. yeah. I'm going to give you an example now to show you how things can be confusing. Ghalaba. Right? Ghalaba. Musa, Isa. You have two brothers, one named Musa, the other named Isa. They're arm wrestling, and then one of them won. So I said, "Ghalaba Musa, Isa." So which one won?
Musa.
How do you know?
Because it says, "Ghalaba Musa."
Yeah. What happens if this is a subject here?
Yes.
Could that be possible? in these type of, so what is the marker of Rafa for Isa? What's the marker of Rafa? Come on, give it to me, Mu'adh. What's the marker of Rafa for Isa? Ta'ar, if you know, what's the marker? Yeah, Dhamma what, but? Dhamma Muqaddara. An estimated, wow, a Dhamma. Meaning it's not there, you can't put it. And here, if it were going to be the subject, it'd also be an estimated. So since we have no idea, we have no way to put a marker to find out which one, we just go by what Hamdi said. We go by the first person. This is impossible to be the opposite. It has to mean Musa 1. It has to mean because of the sequence. Because the sequence is verb, subject, object. If you want to play around with that sequence, you have to have markers on the words for the person who is listening to know which person actually did the verb. So let's change the names. Let's say Ghalaba. No, let's find different names. So let me just do this to bother him. So غلب عدنان معاذ. All right. So who's the subject here?
You.
Not necessarily. Here, if you can put markers to know, right? So it's based on where who's marfu'a. Based on which of these, because ghalaba is the verb, which I mean defeated, right? So whoever did the defeating, whoever won, will be marfu'. So if this is ghalaba, adnana, mu'adhu, then he won. Right? Ghalaba, adnana, mu'adhu. Why would you say it like that? Is there a reason for you to say it like that? Yes, there is. In Arabic, from a meaning perspective, there are reasons why you would put the object before the subject. It would be either emphasizing the object or emphasizing the subject based on the context of the sentence. Like you want to bring out the fact that this is not a regular sentence, this is not a regular event. This was a big deal. Let's say I was the heavyweight champion. And the whole point was who beat Adnan? Mu'adh did. And so that would be, if you just said it normally, that means no big deal. Ghalaba, Mu'adh, Adnan. They played and the guy won. But then if this is the world champion and then he lost to this person and this person won, then you would flip it to emphasize the fact that this is a very unique incident, all right? And then if you were to change it, right? Then I won and he lost, as it should be. غَلَبَ عَدْنَانُ مُعَاذًا. Right? Because I become the subject, I won. I always win, by the way. You're never gonna beat me. All right, so that's the idea. That's how you kind of look at these sentences. So you have to look which one is marfu'a, which one is going to be marfu'a, and which one is not marfu'a. That way you know who's the subject in the sentence and who's not the subject in the sentence. You have a few more examples? I'll give you one. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ القتال. Kafa means you've been protected from or saved from, right? So which one of these two words is going to be the subject? Who did they're protecting here? Yeah, and it has to be. Can it be the opposite? Could it be the opposite? Why couldn't it be? Not just based on the meaning. What else?
Because
the word mu'mineen, what status is it in? Is it in the status of marfu'? No. See, if it was marfu', what would it be? Mu'minun, right? It wouldn't be mu'mineen. So the moment you say mu'mineen, you know this is not marfu'. It has to be this one. So lafdhul jalala is the subject and it's marfu', and the marker of rafa is going to be a dhamma. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. One more example. وَقَضَى. قَضَى means it's been ordered or it's been determined. Someone determined something. Who did determining here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, رَبُّكَ. So, it's مَرْفُوع. How do you know the marker of رَفْع on this? You have to say where the word ends. The word ends at the ba here. The kaf is a pronoun. Right? So, what is the marker of رَفْع on the word رَبْ? No, رَبُّكَ. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. These things are very important. These little distinctions here make a difference. Yes? Where is the verb? That's not a verb. Right?
Ahad Allah.
Wa'ad
Allah.
Wahad Allah. Oh, Wahad Allah. So again, Hada, guided. So who did the guiding? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. In the Quran, a lot of the subjects يعني, are the actions and the wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so that's al-fa'al. That's the subject. That's studying the subject. Let's move on to the second one. He gave a lot of examples. I think we're good. All right, the second one. والمفعول الذي لم يسمى فاعله. المفعول الذي لم يسمى فاعله. Now all the examples you gave me at the beginning, you can all shovel them all back because now it works. So the object that doesn't have a named subject. So it's an object an identified subject. Now, you gave me a couple of examples, give them to me back again. Well, that's the command, the ones that had the passivity. No, that's not an unidentified, that's estimated. He is doing it, right? So let me mustatir. You guys gave me other examples. Remember the examples you gave me at the beginning, give me one more. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ. This is a verb, but this verb is in the passive tense. It's a past tense, but it's also in the passive tense. That's why it said zul zilati. It's not zelzela. If it was zelzelati, it would have been in the normal tense. Zul zilati means the passive tense. What's the passive verb? The work was done. Right? The game was played. That's a passive tense, right? Played. By whom? I don't know, or I'm not telling you, but the game was played. Meaning I removed the concept of the subject from the sentence altogether. I removed the subject from the sentence. So here, زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ. Now who performed the zelzala? Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed it, has been removed from the sentence from conceptually. Meaning, this says the earth was shook. Right? The earth was... Is it shaken or shook? I don't know which is the grammatically shook. So the earth was shook, meaning there's no subject anymore, right? But in the regular understanding of the sentence, you would say, zelzalat is the verb, Allah is the subject, and al-ard is the object, correct? But in this tense, where it's zulzilati, where it's a passive tense, we remove the subject, suddenly the object, doesn't have an identified subject, and it becomes marfu' instead. That's why إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ what? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْ what? أَرْضُ. Right? Why not أَرْضَ? It's an object. It should be mansub. It shouldn't be marfu'. But because the subject has not been identified, because the word is in the passive tense. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. On the other hand, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ is not passive tense. أَخْرَجَتْ removed what it has inside of it. Who did the removing? The earth did. The earth removed what was inside of it and put it outside. So the earth is a subject and it has a dhamma on it. But here, it is not a subject. It is an object that does not have an identified subject. So give me more examples that were similar to that. No, now you're giving the right ones for the other one, for the subjects. Where's the verb there? There's no verb. You have to come like a verb. Qila, but there's no. Where's the object that doesn't have an identified subject? Qila is right. Qila is the right. You're thinking the right direction. But where's the object? You have to think of a noun, right? You have to look for a noun that comes after it. Yeah, kills it. When there's something calling, doesn't work anymore. Yahlifuna is not passive tense. Yeah, what would be passive tense for yahlifuna? Yuhlafuna. All right. Qatala, that is the direct tense. Qutila is the passive tense. Daraba, direct tense. Duriba, passive tense. Jumia, very good. Jumia al-Shamsu. So Jumia al-Shamsu. Now, who Jumia is gathered? Who does the gathering? Who puts the sun and the moon together? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's been removed from the sentence conceptually by a passive tense, by a passive past tense verb. So the passive is ju. Me, ah. It's supposed to be jama Allahu shams, and this is an object, but it would be removed conceptually. So now the object becomes in the place of a subject, so it gets a dhamma. Jumi'a shamsu. Yes. Qutila al-insanu. Qutila al-insanu. Hamdi.
I have two.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. So futihat al-sama. سيرت الجبال. So قتل الإنسان. If it was direct tense, it would be قتل الإنسان, right? And who killed the human being, or who determined the human would die? Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. He's been removed conceptually from the sentence with a passive verb قتل. Now the object, who is the human being, becomes مرفوع, because it's an object that doesn't have an identified subject. Or you can say an object within a passive tense sentence. A passive tense sentence, right? So we can say it both ways. Qutila al-insanu. Futihati. Now, fatahati is the direct tense. Futihati, it was opened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So, or by the malaika. Futihati. And now the sama is what is being opened. It's the object, because there's no identified subject. It is going to get a dhamma as well. The same thing for suyirat al-jibalu. Exact same thing. Yes, give me another example.
What about
abasa? Ubisa is the passive tense. Abasa is a direct tense. Kuwirat, but so what's the problem with the shamsu kuwirat? Kuwirat is a passive tense verb. The shamsu comes before it, so it's no longer an object. These two have to be within a verb-based sentence. A shams becomes before kuwirat, it's no longer a verb-based sentence. It's a noun-based sentence now. A shams is no longer a what is this? What is the maf'ul alladhi yusamma fa'il, who called in grammar today? It has a different name today. They call it na'ib fa'il. The substitute of the subject. So the subject tags out and tags in the object in its place. So it becomes it's an object that's tagging in or substituting a subject, because the subject has been conceptually removed from the sentence. What other examples can you give me? Where is that? You just made that up, right? MashaAllah. Think of Quranic examples. It's a command. That's a command. How it would be in a passive tense? Ustughfira lahum. Right? Ustughfira would be the... What else can we think of? Also a command. Yunfaru is the passive. That's okay. I want you to learn how the passive works. I'm not teaching you passive verbs, but you'll get a hang of what it sounds like. It's always a bit different. Yes. Yanzuruna, it would be yunzuruna if it was passive. Tawasaw is also direct. It would be tuwusiya. It would be tuwusiya law kana passive. Tawasaw is direct, is a past tense direct. Yu'rafu. Not ya'rafu. Ya'rifu becomes wrong. Yu'rafu is the right. Yeah, yu'rafu is correct. So Surah Al-Rahman, you have yu'rafu. Yes, go ahead. No. U'tiya al-kawthar would be the way. U'tiya. But a'tainaka becomes direct. So here, if you say ya'rifu, right? It becomes direct. Yu'rafu, it becomes indirect. Arafa, what does the verb mean? The verb means to know something, right? Al-mujrimun are the criminals. So who's doing the knowing? Who's identifying? Everyone else. Yes, very good. So everyone else is doing the identification. They're identifying the mujrimin. Where is everyone else here? They've been conceptually removed from the sentence because of the passivity of the verb. So the verb is written like this, yu'arafu, is passive. So now the object, the ones who are going to be known, identified, become the substitute of this, of the. That's why, what is the marker of rafi' in the word mujrimun? If it was yu'arafu al-mujrimin, that would be a big blunder in the Quran. That would be a big problem in the Quran. Understanding that would be impossible because there's no, you know, there's no subject. So it has to be yu'arafu al-mujrimun. Yes, Hamdi.
Qutila ashabul ukhdud.
Very good. Qutila ashabul ukhdud. Right? Qutila. So who damned them to death, or damned them, or judged upon them, or ruled upon them death? Is with the as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But he's been conceptually moved from the sentence. So now they ashabul ukhdud become the substitute of the subject. So qutila ashabul ukhdud. All right. Very good. Give me one that's good. It would be yubashsharu. If it was passive, are you hearing the difference? Yubashiru is the direct tense. Yubashsharu is the passive tense. I want you to learn the difference between a direct tense verb and a passive tense verb just by listening. Yubashiru, that's direct. Yubashsharu is passive, right? I'm not going to teach you. I'm just going to keep on repeating it until you understand. Kutiba, there's kutiba in the Quran, a very known ayah. There you go, yeah. Al-qitalu or yadina amu kutiba alaykum al-siyam. Either way, so either ayah would work perfectly here. Kutiba. And this is good because there's something in between. I was hoping we'd get one of these because there's something in between. So, what would the direct tense verb sound like here? Kataba. But it's kutiba, right? So it's not direct, it's passive. So the subject has been conceptually removed from the sentence. Now, who did the writing? Who did who obligated Siyam and Qital? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been removed. So now the obligations, the object of these sentences are going to become substitutes for the subject and be marfu'a. So Siyam, fasting, and Qital, fighting, in certain contexts of course, become na'ib fa'al. Now what about alaykum? Doesn't do anything. Alaykum is a preposition with a pronoun attached to it, and it doesn't affect the sentence at all. It's just, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't change anything in the sentence. So what is the marker of rafi' on the word siyam? Siyamu. And the marker of rafi' on the word qital? Qitalu. All right. Yes, Hamdi. Ya'malun is direct. Yu'malun, yu'malu is the passive. So ya'malu is the direct, yu'malu is the passive. Do we have any more? Ja'ala is direct. Ju'ila is passive. Yes, Khalil. Yes, so we just did that a second ago, but very good. Yutawaffawna. Very good, but there's no the subject or the substitute for the subject is a pronoun, it's not a noun. We need a noun, not a pronoun, right? Just so that we can keep the, because we're talking about al-marfu'at min al-asma. We're talking about the nouns that are given the status of rafi'. There's seven different types of nouns, right? Seven different types. Very good, jazakallah khair. I was hoping I would get that at some point during this whole thing. So with the very known hadith, give us a second. The very known hadith, Buniya. The question would be, yes, yeah, Hamdi, yes. Akhraja is direct. Ukhrija is passive. Now, what is the direct tense of Buniya? What would the direct tense be? Bana, right? Bana is direct. Buniya is going to be passive. So you know that conceptually, the subject of this sentence has been removed. Who is the one who built Islam on five pillars? Jalla Jalaluhu Allah. He built it on five pillars. But he's been conceptually removed. So Islam was built. That's what the sentence means. Islam has been built. So Islam is the object that doesn't have a subject, identified subject, or is a substitute for the subject, and is going to be marfu'. What is the marker of rafa' for it? Buniya al-Islamu. Right? Ala khams. Right. Yeah, you're right. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ. That's a very good example. What would the passive verb sound like if it wasn't passive here? What would it be if it was direct? حَمَلَتْ, right? But حُمِلَتْ is passive. Who's going to carry the earth? And Qudratullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability of Allah, has been conceptually removed, and now the object, which is the earth, becomes na'ib fa'il, becomes the substitute of the subject, or it's an object doesn't have a subject, and now it's marfu'. وَحَمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ. Inshaqqat is not passive.
But why is this one better than the other one not?
The verbs aren't the same. Inshaqqat is not a passive verb, it's a direct verb. It's a passive verb indirectly. It's a complicated one. Inshaqqat, when you add a noon to the beginning of it, it becomes a passive verb, but indirectly. So what is the passive tense of inshaqqat? Unshaqqat is never used. Shuqqat is used. Right? So you can say shuqqat, or you can say inshaqqat. Either way, similar meanings, but there is a difference. There is a difference. So humilat means there's an actual force that carried it. Inshaqqat means it ripped from the force of other things happening. It wasn't ripped directly, it was indirectly ripped. Inshaqqat is similar, right? That's the difference. Remind me today, I'll explain that a bit clearly. And we said that as well. But Jazakallah khair for coming in late and at least coming. No, I mean coming up with the examples, yeah. Khalaqa is direct. What would it be if it was passive? Khuliqa. Khuliqa would be if it were passive, but khalaqa is a direct, yes. Yunabba'u. Yunabba'u what? Yes, give me. Yunabba'u linsanu. Very good, there you go. So what would the verb yunabba'u sound like if it wasn't passive? Yunabbi'u. Very good. Yunabbi'u would be how it would sound if it was not passive, but here it's passive, so it's you. Nabba'u. It would be? Ji'a, there you go. Waji'a yawma idhin bi jahannam. There is no ju'a ever. So it's only ji'a. Now, at the end of this, inshallah, I'll tell you how we come up with all that. Now you understand. So insan, if it was a direct sentence, direct verb, would be the object. Yunabbi'u Allahu al-insan. Allah lets the human being know, but we conceptually remove the subject. So now the object becomes the substitute. Yunabba'u al-insanu. Right? Now. So that's all fun and games. Let's talk about the passive. So in order for this to exist, for number two to exist, you need a passive tense verb. This here needs a passive verb, there's no tense. Passive verb. A passive verb. So what's a passive verb? Let's talk about a direct verb. Fa'ala. Right? Fa'ala. If you want to turn that into a passive verb, you would say? Say it. Yes, fu'ila. Say it, even if you're wrong, yani, it's no big deal. This is only going on YouTube, yani, for everyone to see, so no problem, yani. So fu'ila. So what you do, what do we do here? You put a dhamma on the first letter, and then you put a kasra on the second one. So give me examples. Daraba. Doriba. Akala. Ukila. Ukila. What else? Khalaqa. Khuliqa. Sharab. Shariba. Shuriba. Very good. What else? Alima. Ulima. Very good. Darasa. Durisa. Very good. So what we do is, we give a dhamma at the first letter and a kasra at the second one. Okay? So let's take the example of the word that you thought was ju'a. So ja'a Yeah? What would you do here? How would you do that? How would you turn it from this to this? How would you put a dhamma on the first letter and a kasra on the second one? So it would look like this. Juwi'a. Arabs don't speak like that. So either we're going to get rid of the dhamma or get rid of the kasra. The dhamma is always more difficult, so, and the kasra is easier, so you hold on to the kasra and you just move this over here and turn this waw into a ya. Oh, khalasna. So qala would be, what would it turn into? Quwila. It will become quwila. Now no one speaks like that, so they just get rid of the waw, qila. Right, what else? Waqila, right? Waqila. Sama, it would turn into? Suwima. Nah, sima, right? And that's, of course, that's very, it's never used, but that's how it would be used. What else example, whatever the example is going to give me of words like that? Akala ukila, right? So it's fa'ala fu'ila, akala ukila, daraba daruba, qatala qutila, yani. Bata, beta. Yes? So bata would turn into beta. Mata, mita. Yeah? Qima. Very good. So that's for the past tense. So for the present tense, yaf'alu. Yaf'alu. It would turn into yuf'alu. Right? Ya'kulu, yu'kalu. Yadribu, yudrabu. Yajlisu, yujlasu. Yahmilu, يُحْمَلُ يَعْرِفُ يُعْرَفُ. Make sense? So what you do is, what are you doing? You put a dhamma first, and this has to say a fatha. So, because sometimes this won't be a fatha in regular words. يَعْرِفُ. See, there's a dha kasra. This has to say a fatha. يُفْعَلُ. And that's how we do it. That's why when you gave me verbs, I told you if they're direct tense, or if they're direct, or if they're passive, right? Just based on the way of hearing it, you know if there's a dhamma at the beginning of it. So, go ahead. No, look at this. What would you do first? Yaqulu. Oh, I'll help you. You want to give, right, a dhamma at the first one. So you. Then what do you want to do with the qaf? It's going to have a sukoon on it, and then a fatha on the waw. So yuqwalu. And no one speaks like that. Right? So what they do is, they move this over here. And they get rid of this and say yuqalu. They always, vowels in Arabic are interchangeable. So from a waw to a ya to an alif, you can always change. We'll finish with that. JazakAllah khair. SubhanAllah. Bihamdik. Jalla wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.